Consent, please come to order. Would members please vote? Have all members voted this morning? Have all members voted? Secretary, close roll.
The roll shows 16 senators present this morning.
Will we stand for the invocation this morning?
Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day and the opportunities it affords to us. Thank you for these men and these women who come aside from other occupations and other concerns in many cases to give themselves, to give their lives to this important occupation and pursuit of considering the laws and dispensing the government of the state. We ask that you would guide in all of the deliberations today. May your will be accomplished in each one. Give wisdom, give a sense of stewardship in each heart of each legislator here today as this man or this woman considers the laws before him or her. May we have the insight to look beyond the paper, beyond the wording, to see the lives of men, women, boys, and girls who are affected by the decisions that are made here. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Joseph Bennett and Vic Fisher. Morris is absent, huh?
Secretary, certify as correctness in the journal.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 129th legislative day, 128th legislative day.
Senator Ray.
Move the journal for the 128th day be approved as certified.
Without objection, so ordered. Are there guests this morning? You have the floor, Senator Fisher.
Yes, Mr. President. In the gallery behind us, we have a person from South Anchorage who is a resident of Girdwood. And also, this gentleman is going to foul today to run for the State House. So I guess he's down here seeing how both sides operate. Mr. Jim Zawacki.
Mr. President, I'd like to introduce the sister of an employee of mine, Terry Roberts.
The message is from the governor.
Mr. President.
You have floor, Senator. Excuse me.
Before the message is, I noticed that a friend and constituent of mine just come in from Fairbanks. He was the former manager of the Fairbanks International Airport and is now the director of operations for Pacific Airlines, my friend Paul Hagen.
We have messages from the governor.
Messages of May 15. Dear Senator Curtula, I have signed the following bills and resolution and am transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. House Bill Number 711, an act extending the termination date of the Board of Public Accountancy and providing for an effective date, Chapter 94. House Bill Number 702, an act extending the termination date of the Board of Examiners and Optometry and providing for an effective date, Chapter 50. Senate Bill Number 513, an act relating to renunciation of rights in decedents' estates. Senate Bill Number 95, effective date failed in the House, an act requiring that certain legislative officers file statements of financial interests, Chapter 52. House CS for CS for Senate Bill Number 490, rules, an act making supplemental appropriations and providing for an effective date, Chapter 53. Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 5, Resources Amended, relating to revenue sharing from Outer Continental Shelf Oil and Gas Development, Legislative Resolve Number 53. I have read the following resolutions and am transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 20, Amended House, relating to Glen Alps Road Upgrading and Realignment in the Municipality of Anchorage, Legislative Resolve Number 55. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 17, Amended House, relating to Lower Huffman Road Upgrading in the Municipality of Anchorage, Legislative Resolve Number 56. Sincerely, Bill Sheffield, Governor. Those are the messages from the Governor.
Are the messages from the House?
There are no messages from the House today.
Are there communications this morning?
There are no communications.
There are reports of standing committees.
Finance considered Senate Bill number 87, Special Appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for construction of harbor facilities at St. George and St. Paul, and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute with a new title, and do pass, signed Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Mulcahy, Josephson, Ferguson, Fakes, McFisher, and Sackett. SB 87 has no further referral.
Rules Committee for placement on calendar.
Finance considered Senate Bill number 479, Forest Products Business Loan Guarantee Program, and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute and do pass with a fiscal note. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senator Sackett, Josephson, Mulcahy, Ferguson, Fakes, and Vic Fisher. SB 479 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill number 503, Hazardous Waste, and recommends be replaced with a committee substitute with a new fiscal note and do pass. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senator Sackett, Ferguson, Josephson, Mulcahy, Vic Fisher, and Bakes. SB 503 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Finance considered committee substitute for second, sponsor substitute for House Bill number 487, Finn, appropriations for a statewide crime lab facility in Anchorage, and recommends it be replaced with a Senate committee substitute and do pass. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Ferguson, Josephson, Sackett, Vic Fisher, Fakes, and Mulcahy. House Bill 487 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Rules Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill number 504, Finance, establishing the Teacher Scholarship Loan Program, and recommends that it be replaced with the Senate committee substitute and calendar. Signed, Senator Fakes, chairman, concurring Senators Ray and Ferguson. This does appear on the calendar. Transportation considered committee substitute for House Bill number 558, Rules, Local Service Roads and Trails, and recommends do pass with a letter of intent. Signed, Senator Moss, chairman, concurring Senator Gilman and Senator Fakes. House Bill 558 has a further referral to Finance. The Finance Committee considered House Bill number 654, Alaska Foreign Offices. Senator Bennett, co-chairman, and Senators Sackett, Mulcahy, Fakes, and Vic Fisher signed no recommendation. Senators Josephson and Ferguson signed due pass. A new fiscal note was attached. HB 654 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Rules Committee considered the following and recommend that they be calendared on May 16. Senate Bill number 288 and recommends the Resources Committee substitute. Senate Bill number 360, Checking Accounts, and recommends the Judiciary Committee substitute. Senate Bill number 469, Credited Service under the Public Employees Retirement System, and recommends the State Affairs Committee substitute. Signed, Senator Fakes, chairman, concurring Senators Ray, Kelly, and Ferguson. These do appear on today's calendar. Those are the standing committee reports.
There is a report of a special committee.
The Honorable Yalmer Katula, Honorable Joe Hayes, dear Mr. President and Mr. Speaker, the Conference Committee considering Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill number 511, Finance Amended Senate, and CSHB 511 Finn, the budget, respectfully requests limited powers of free conference on the following specific points. See the attached. Signed, Senator Sackett, chairman, Senators Bennett and Vic Fisher, Representative Adams, chairman, Representatives Bettesworth and Duncan.
House Bill 511 is the budget bill. What do you wish, Senator?
Just a question.
Yes, sir.
Mr. President, that seems like a fairly long list. If that is truly limited powers of a free conference, or are we just really going to a free conference committee?
Mr. President.
You have the floor, Senator.
We request limited powers of free conference.
They're granted. Limited powers free conference are granted.
That is the only special committee report today.
Can this be handed to Senator Halford? I'm not sure he has it. But. There are no resolutions or bills for introduction. It takes us to the daily calendar. The first item in the daily calendar, Senate Bill 288. Will Secretary read the bill by title off the committee report?
Senate Bill number 288 by Senator Bennett, an act relating to the Board of Fisheries. The Resources Committee considered this bill and recommend it be replaced with a committee substitute, and a majority do pass, signed Senator Fahrenkamp, chairman, concurring Senators Vic Fisher, Stojalewski, Ziegler, and Paul Fisher. Senator Mulcahy signed no recommendation.
The bill is before you. Are there amendments? You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Resources Committee substitute be adopted.
Without objection, so ordered. Secretary, read the bill.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 288, Resources, by the Resources Committee, an act relating to the Board of Fisheries.
Senator Ray. Are there amendments proposed?
There are no amendments.
Senator has the floor.
Move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for Senate Bill 288 be considered and gross advance third reading and place in final passage.
Objection. So ordered. Secretary, read the bill on third reading.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 288, Resources, an act relating to the Board of Fisheries.
The bill is before you for discussion, for debate. Senator Ray has the floor.
Just through the chair, to possibly the prime sponsor, the resource chairman, on line 18, I wonder if the word participants is a proper word to use in there, if that's really what you want in there, rather than somebody representing sport fishing interests.
Senator Bennett, if you wish to respond.
I have no problem with the word. I think it may not be the best word, but I really don't have any problem with it.
Senator Gilman has the floor.
Mr. President, along the same line, I would like to know what the definition of a participant is. Is that someone who holds a valid sports fishing license?
You have the floor, Senator Victor Fisher.
Mr. President. I'm not ready to respond to either question or to give a definition. The intent, I hope, is clear. The intent is to have two members who are who represent sports fisheries interests on the board. The governor has now, in effect, carried out this intent. He appointed two such individuals. In drafting the language, there's no pride of authorship whatsoever. There was an effort made not to say representing sports fisheries organizations or any other kind of real hard language that might tie the hands of the governor and the legislature in the future. And this was more a statement of intent.
Senator Lyason.
Mr. President, I think that maybe should be on record also that my interpretation is just a little bit different. Mine is that to participate in sport fisheries, I think that those of us who do have commercial license and also have sport fishing license and participate in both fisheries would be qualified.
Is there any further debate? Discussion? Senator Gilman, your response adequate?
Well, Mr. President, I was going to make the same point, only maybe amplify it just a little bit. If the intent of this bill is to put into statutes that there will be two members that represent sport fishing interests, this doesn't do it. As Senator Lyason said, most people who are commercial fishermen are also sports fishermen and hold valid sports fishing license, and that's why I was asking what the definition of a participant was. The governor could appoint anyone who holds a valid sports fishing license to the Board of Fisheries and be in compliance with this statute.
Are you ready for the question? For the debate? Question is called for. The question is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 288 be adopted by the Senate? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Any member wish to change their vote? I don't think all, yes, all members have voted. Please proceed.
The roll shows 18 yeas, 2 nays.
The bill has been adopted by the Senate. Next item on the daily calendar is Senate Bill 360. Secretary Reed, Senate Bill 360 by title offer committee report.
Senate Bill number 360 by Senators Ray and Curtula, an act relating to checking accounts. Labor and Commerce waived referral. The Judiciary Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute. Senator Ray, Chairman, and Senators Ziegler and Josephson signed do pass. Senators Pettyjohn and Eliason signed no recommendation.
There's a committee substitute, Senator Ray.
Move the Judiciary Committee substitute in lieu of the result.
Without objection, Secretary read the bill.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 360. Judiciary by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to checking accounts.
Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
In the absence of amendments, Senator Ray.
Move committee substitute for Senate Bill 360, Judiciary, be considered in gross advance, third reading, place the final passage.
No objection. So ordered. Secretary read the bill in third reading.
CS for Senate Bill number 360, Judiciary, by the an act relating to checking accounts.
Bill is before you, Senator Ray.
Briefly, what this does is adds a civil recourse to the criminal penalties of writing bad checks. In essence, what it does is sets up procedures which allows a person to recover $100 or three times the value, whichever is greater of the bad check.
Senator Gilman has the floor.
Mr. President, through the chair, on line 7, page 2, where in that section under the written demand definition, did the Judiciary Committee consider possibly having certified mail as opposed to first-class mail written in there as a condition of the
registered or certified?
Senator Ray?
Yes, sir, we did, and the understanding, or at least the information that we had, is a certified check you had, or a certified letter you had to sign for it, and if a person knew that you were receiving notice, he wouldn't sign for it, and therefore he wouldn't receive notice of it.
Senator Gilman has the floor.
Well, having had some experience in this field, Mr. President, it's almost impossible to prove that you have sent notification to a person who has an outstanding bad check. When you go into either a small claims court or any other way to try to recover the check, our attorneys have advised us that we should send that at least registered mail or certified mail. As you know, as a small business person trying to collect bad checks, we should do that. We should make the attempt. Yes, there are going to be some that aren't picked up, but you can show that you made the attempt to get that letter to him with a certified mail.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I don't see the problem. The attorneys could still give the same advice, and could still, it's your option. You're not prohibited from using certified mail if you want to show that you have objective evidence of the mailing.
Senator Ray?
This is the Model Act that is in force in, I don't know, 25 or 30 states right now. Don't seem to have that problem.
For further discussion, you have the floor, Senator Paul.
President, two questions. One is for clarification. In the event of a third-party check, is the second signer at all liable, or does it go back to the original signer of the check?
Senator Ray?
The third-party signer, according to the Klukwan School of Law, the third-party signer is responsible for the whatever is his responsibility. If you take the $100, through the chair.
Yep, floor.
If you're talking about a person who I give a check to Joe gives it to Senator Kelly, and Senator Kelly puts it in the bank, and it's no good. It comes back to Senator Kelly. He has to pay for it. He then goes to Senator Josephson, and if he can get the money out of Senator Josephson, okay. That's his problem.
Yeah, Flora Center, Paul Fisher.
Thanks for the clear explanation. Very helpful. The other question I have, should there not be a fiscal note with this, since the court will be involved with the working with these various cases?
Senator Ray?
There's no anticipation that there'll be any increase in court procedures or court use over and above what is now. They have a different procedure now. This is just a little more stringent and adds a little additional penalties, but they still have a procedure now in which they're paying for bad check complainants.
Ready for the question? The question is, shall Senate Bill 360 be adopted by the Senate? You may proceed. If all members voted, Secretary, close roll. Does any member wish to change the vote? Secretary, close roll.
The roll shows 19 yeas, 1 nay.
The bill has been adopted. Next item, data calendar, Senate Bill 469. Secretary, read Bill 469. Senate Bill 469, title off.
Senate Bill number 469 by Senators Sackett and Ferguson, an act relating to credited service under the Public Employees Retirement System and providing for an effective date. The State Affairs Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute with a new fiscal note and due pass. Signed, Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, concurring Senators Kelly and Sturgiluski. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends the State Affairs Committee substitute with a majority due pass. Signed, Senator Sackett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Vic Fisher, Mulcahy, and Ferguson. Senator Josephson signed no recommendation. There is a State Affairs Committee substitute.
State Affairs Chairman.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent for the State Affairs Committee substitute be adopted.
No objection. Secretary, read that bill.
CS for Senate Bill number 469, State Affairs, by the State Affairs Committee.
Please come back to order. Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
Senator Ray.
In the absence of amendments, I move this committee substitute to Senate Bill number 469, State Affairs, reconsidering gross advance third reading.
Without objection, advance the third reading. Will the Secretary read the bill?
CS for Senate Bill number 469, State Affairs, an act relating to credited service under the Public Employees Retirement System and providing for an effective date.
The bill is before you for discussion, for debate. Senator Gilman has the floor.
Mr. President, no debate on the bill. I think the board is wrong.
Secretary, please. The brief explanation, Senator Sackett has the floor.
Mr. President, I have passed out to each member a memorandum which has attached to it the analysis and all the explanations, so if there are any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
Are there questions? Is there further debate? Question is called for. Question is, shall Senate Bill 469 amended pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. All members have voted. Does any member wish to change her vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 20 yeas.
Bill has been adopted. Senator Ray.
We've been asking unanimous consent to the roll call on the passage of the substitute for Senate Bill number 469, State Affairs, the roll call on the effective date clause.
Effective date clause has been adopted. Next item on the daily calendar is Senate Bill 186. Secretary, read the bill. Title, author, committee report.
Senate Bill number 186, an act relating to name recipient grants and providing for an effective date in third reading.
Bill is in third reading. Is there debate? You have the floor, Senator Ferguson. Excuse me.
I'd move that we revert to second reading for a specific amendment which has been distributed.
Without objection, revert to second readings. Do you wish to move the amendment?
Amendment number 1 by Senator Ferguson to page 1, lines 27.
Senator Ferguson.
Mr. President, this amendment would retain existing law dealing with execution of a contract. I'd ask for adoption.
Unanimous consent has been asked for adoption of the amendment. It's adopted. Back to third reading. Are there further amendments? Is there further discussion, further debate? Senator Ferguson.
Senate Bill 186 would allow grants to named recipients to be treated the same as municipal grants. The named recipient grantees are bound by the same accounting, reporting, and audit requirement as municipalities. This will ensure that grant funds are expended according to law. Each department who will administer the grants will provide control, as well as the Department of Administration, who is responsible for ensuring the contracts are executed in accordance with law. This year's budget contains two field auditors within the Department of Administration to provide greater accountability. This system should provide more than adequate controls on name recipient grant. This legislation will also provide a degree of local control, because most name recipient grants in the rural areas go to locally based organizations who provide needed service. There is no fiscal note. This act takes effect immediately. I'd move for its adoption.
Senator Gilman.
Brief at ease.
We'll be at ease. Please come back to order. Senator Ray.
President, I would move Senate Bill number 186 to the bottom of today's calendar.
The bottom of the calendar, there's no objections in third reading. Read right again at the bottom of the calendar. Next item on the daily calendar is House Bill 504. Secretary, read the bill.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 504, financed by the Finance Committee, an act establishing the Teacher Scholarship Loan Program and providing for an effective date. The Judiciary Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with the Senate Committee substitute Judiciary. Senator Ray, Chairman, and Senators Pettyjohn, Josephson, and Eliason signed no recommendations. Senator Ziegler signed do pass. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with the Senate Committee substitute, and also recommends adoption of the House Finance Letter of Intent attached to new fiscal note. Senators and do pass. Signing do pass for Senator Sackett, Co-Chairman, Senators Vic Fisher and Ferguson. Senators Josephson and Fake signed no recommendation. The Rules Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with the Senate Committee substitute rules and calendar. Signed, Senator Fake's chairman, concurring Senators Ray and Ferguson. There are three committee substitutes.
You have the floor, Senator.
Yes, Mr. President, I would move the Rules Committee substitute for House Bill 504.
Objections noted.
The only difference between the Finance Committee substitute and the Rules Committee substitute is in section 700 on page 4 of the rules bill. The definition of rural was changed in the rules committee to meet the definition that was in the judiciary version of the bill, and with that definition that came over from the House side. So that's the only difference between the rules CS and the finance CS.
What line on?
It's the definition section on under section 1443-700, starting
yes.
on line 15. That is a new definition, and that definition was in the Judiciary Committee substitute and in the version of the bill that came over from the other body.
To the adoption committee substitute, Senator Ray and then Senator Gilman.
Mr. President, I object to both the rules and the Finance Committee substitute, and I would support the Judiciary Committee substitute. I support fully the concept of providing a scholarship loan program for rural areas, and possibly one that has a little more pull or a little more attraction than the program. But I, in the Finance Committee's version, which is the rules, they have $10,000 as opposed to the regular $6,500 annually. They also have a forgiveness factor of 4 years and one day, 100% forgiveness, where the judiciary has a regular 50% forgiveness. And I think that, with all due respect to the bill, and again, saying that I do support the concept of scholarship loan programs, specifically for rural areas or for rural teaching positions, there is no indication that even after we pass this, that the the teachers will be assigned to the areas in which they want to go to perhaps advance the Yupik dialect or some of the other dialects up in the interior. There's no guarantee that those people will be given, that just natives rather than Caucasians will get the teaching jobs. And so it's really nothing other than a super advanced, lightly giveaway program.
Senator Gilman.
Brief at ease.
I'll be at ease. Discussion on adoption of the Rules Committee substitute. Discussion on the adoption of the Rules Committee substitute. There was a timeout called. Is there further debate on adoption of the Rules Committee substitute? Senator Ray has the floor.
Well, if it's my hope that the Rules Committee substitute fails, and then I'm going to move for the adoption of the Judiciary Committee, which I explained.
Question before us is, shall the Rules Committee substitute be adopted? For further debate, you may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
Roll shows 7 yeas, 12 nays, 1 absent.
Is there a further motion?
Move for the adoption of the Judiciary Committee report for the original bill.
Question is, shall the unanimous consent asked for Judiciary Committee substitute? No objection. Secretary, read the bill.
Senate CS for House Bill number 504, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee, an act establishing the Teacher Scholarship Loan Program and providing for an effective date.
Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
In the absence of amendments, Senator Ray.
Move Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill 504, Judiciary, be advanced third reading, place the final passage.
Objection. Secretary, read the bill.
Senate CS for House Bill number 504, Judiciary, an act establishing the Teacher Scholarship Loan Program and providing for an effective date.
Bill is before you for discussion, for debates. You have the floor, Senator Victor Fisher, or Senator Paul Fisher.
Just for clarification, Mr. President, on the definition on page, or on the last page, we talk about rural, meaning a community. In the definition of community, are we talking the municipality or the actual geographic location of, say, a village or a particular where a school is located?
You're speaking to the Judiciary Committee substitute?
Yes.
Senator Ray, do you wish to respond?
Well, hopefully I will attempt to. I think that the Department of Community and Regional Affairs takes into consideration a community as an integrated group, not necessarily organized, that has a population of less than 450 or 4,500, which is in the second, third, or fourth judicial district, and not connected by road with Anchorage or Fairbanks. That's normally what the rural definition is. That's normally what a rural definition is. However, well, I'm reading off of the statute, and I was going to explain. However, we've eliminated half of that, the portion that's connected with Anchorage or Fairbanks, which gives it an integrated community, not organized, but has a structure of some 4,500 people living within a trading community.
Yes, Mr. President, that does answer really my question. What I was concerned about is a community such as Girdwood in the municipality of Anchorage, under the very defined definition that Senator Ray gave, they would qualify, so I'm satisfied.
Yeah, the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, on this point, I have no strong feelings about it. I just raised this in case someone wants to offer an amendment about it. As I understand it, we are going to create some very anomalous situations, because if I live in Girdwood, I'm eligible, because that's certainly a community. In fact, I think it's even incorporated, or it may be incorporated. Certainly Glen Alps in the Anchorage area is incorporated. That's a community. But if I live up the road in South Anchorage, in Ocean View, that would probably mean I'm not eligible, because I'm not in a community of less than 4,500. If I am in your district and I live in Wasilla, I'm not eligible. But if I live in Houston or Willow, I am eligible. And I'm not sure that really is a logical kind of distinction to make. The Senate Finance Committee version did employ the language "not connected by road or rail to Anchorage or Fairbanks." And I might say, Mr. President, in some ways, perhaps everybody ought to be eligible, because you might have a student living in Anchorage whose ancestry is in the village, who is ethnically, racially, culturally more tied to the village than to Anchorage, who won't be eligible to get assistance under either version. But if you're going to try to limit this to rural areas, I don't think the language before us does it. And I just raise the question for discussion purposes.
Senator Ray.
Well, I don't like to disagree with my learned vice chairman, but that's not necessarily correct. The Judiciary Committee words deleted the part about being connected by road. Yes. They deleted that part. So that in the body of the bill, it has reference to the applicants will make application to the local school board. So if you have a community that has a school board, you're in. If you have a community that doesn't have a school board, you're out.
Your floor, Senator Gilman.
Mr. President, I think that might go to the heart of the matter. In some of the major, larger boroughs, there are one school board. Each borough is a school district. If the community means the entire borough that has a population of more than 4,500, that's one thing. If it means each identifiable area within that municipality, that borough, that's another. Give you three specific examples: Tyonic, English Bay, and Port Grant. They are rural in anybody's definition of rural, but they are inside a community that has more than 4,500 if the borough outside the first class cities are considered to be a community. If that definition is used, then you go right on up the highway system: Manilchik, Anchor Point, Cooper Landing, Moose Pass. If one has eligible, the other one has to be eligible. And I'm not sure which one we're talking about here as far as a rural definition.
You have the floor, Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, I don't accept the idea that the term community means municipality. If that had been meant, I'm sure that word would have been used. So therefore, my understanding is that the English Bay Port Graham Tyonic person would be eligible. And otherwise, we're eliminating an awful lot of folks who ought to have eligibility if the bill is to pass at all. I still maintain that under that situation, the Girdwood representative would be eligible, and the person who lives on the Seward Highway would not be eligible. And I'm happy with that if that's what the body wants to do. But it seems to me we're making some very arbitrary distinctions among Alaska youth.
Further debate. You have the floor, Senator Eliason.
I don't like to belabor the point, but I sat through a number of committee hearings on this particular bill in Judiciary, and I can really understand, like the rest of us on the committee, the need. However, I don't think we're addressing that need with this bill. It just doesn't seem to fit the problem. Now, it seems to me that the bill we're looking at before us is probably more restricted than the student loan program, in as much as the student loan program, you come back to state, you establish residence. But here, you have to be employed before you can get a reduction in payments. So how does this all fit together? I'm rather confused in that particular issue.
You have the floor, Senator.
Just on it, again, I think the purposes are worthy, but I'm wondering if it's dollars that are keeping the young people from coming into education and actually then going back to the rural schools. We do have a University of Alaska scholarship program on the books right now. I think that due to the fact we haven't had room and board available except in Fairbanks, it's just been used on that campus, and it uses a kind of a combination of BIA grants and room and board and then some scholarship funds, and I don't think we've had a good report on whether that program is effective. And I'm just wondering if it's money, the way we're looking at it now, it's a separate program from the current scholarship program, which I think is the best in the country. And I'm just not sure that this is going to do what the sponsor had hoped for.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I'm going to vote for the bill and hope that we get into a conference situation and the conference committee can iron out some of the technical problems.
The floor, Senator.
I just, getting back to repayment schedule, I wonder if someone would answer the question that if, in fact, these students didn't get their teaching degree and came back to Alaska and they couldn't get a job for maybe 4 or 5 years, what happens to repayment schedule then? Under the student loan program, once you terminate your studies, you have to start making repayments. But the criteria for the teachers is that you must have the job. You could be in Alaska 4 or 5 years, not being able to get that job. Then how would the repayment schedule trigger in then?
You have the floor, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. President, I'm very sympathetic to the intent of this bill, and I think that the last point raised supports, if anything, the language in the bill, because if somebody who goes out obtains the benefits of this program, the financing benefits, and then comes back and goes to work as a teamster in the North Slope, that person shouldn't get a waiver. If that person goes back as a teacher to the community, then a waiver should be available.
Are you ready for the question? For further debate, Senator, you have the floor, Senator Ferguson.
I'd move for the adoption of the letter of intent to House Bill 504, which is in your pack.
Motion for the letter of intent. Is there objection to the motion of adoption of the letter of intent? Objections noted. You have the floor, Senator.
Just so that I have a chance to read it.
Has everyone read the intent letter? Will be these. Please come back to order. Before us is adoption of the letter of intent. Objections are removed. Letter of intent has been adopted. Unanimous consent was asked. The bill is before you. Question is, shall House Bill 504 amended pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close roll.
The roll shows 20 yeas.
Senator Ray, is there effective date clock?
No.
To the floor, Senator.
No. Move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of the Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 504. Judiciary be considered roll call and effective date clause.
Objection. So ordered. Takes us back now to Senate Bill 186, ahead of the citation calendar. Secretary, reread in third reading 186.
Senate Bill number 186 amended, an act relating to name recipient grants and providing for an effective date in third reading.
Is there a specific amendment? Senator Ferguson has the floor.
Mr. President, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that we revert to second reading for specific amendment.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Ferguson.
Mr. President, in talking to the drafter of the original bill, I've come to the conclusion that what I'm trying to seek in the original bill was to exempt the rural areas from bid requirements, and the bill still needed for those larger communities that have two, three, or four more nonprofits in those communities to let them go under the bid requirements. But so, Mr. President, I'd move amendment number.
We're in third reading. Questions before you. The question is, shall Senate Bill 186 as amended be adopted? You have the floor, Senator.
Just briefly, certainly I appreciate the amendments that are made, and I think they narrow where you would be going sole source. But I think that the whole point is we're still allowing certain parts of the state the sole source. If somebody's doing a lousy job and they become listed again as a named recipient, there's not much that the department or agency can do to address that problem. And I think we've seen a lot of problems raised in the whole professional services and other contracting in the state. And I think that this just eventually might give us problems. I don't see that there's any problem with the current law and how that's working.
All right.
I can appreciate the concern of the good senator, but I believe that we still have, or the governor still has veto, line item vetoes, and if he sees something in there he doesn't like, then he can veto it, and the person who put it in there can suffer the consequences if he feels, or he has to go to the governor between the two of them. But under the original intent, if you'd have to go and make some kind of a negotiated compromise anyway. But I think that here, it's obvious in most rural communities there is only one provider, and nominally if there are two, you can tell the difference between them. Where in a large urban areas there might be 10 providers and nobody could tell.
You have a question. The question is, shall Senate Bill 186 be adopted? You may proceed to vote. If all members voted, does any member desire to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 14 yeas, 6 nays.
Senate Bill 186 has been adopted. Senator Ray.
Roll call on the passage of Senate Bill 186 be considered roll call effective date clause.
Without objection. As a matter of fact, I believe we have to have a roll call on the effective date clause. Was it 14-6?
It was 14.
We've adopted effective dates. Apologies. Citation calendar.
Citations honoring Session 4 close-up students by Senators Ray, Ferguson, and Sturgiluski, and Representative Adams and Fuller. Honoring Session 5 close-up students by Senators Ray, Ferguson, and Sturgiluski, and Representative Adams and Fuller. Honoring Ruth Allman by Representatives Emma Miller, Duncan, Hayes, Liska, Cato, and Fritz, and Senators Ray, Ziegler, Vic Fisher, and Sturgiluski.
Objection. I'd like to be shown on the Ruth Allman. Her husband was the first editor of the paper 50 years ago in the Valley. Senator Ray?
I would move and ask unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and the publication notice for Carmel on a citation in memoriam of Linda Michelle Ferris be waived and the citation be taken up as special order of business at this time.
No objection. Secretary, read the citation by title.
In memoriam, Linda Michelle Ferris by Senators Paul Fisher and Gilman and Representatives Fritz and Malone.
Ray.
No
other additions or corrections, I would move the citation calendar be approved as read.
Citation calendar has been adopted. We're down to unfinished business. Is there unfinished business? Senator Victor Fisher.
Mr. President, I would like to waive State Affairs referral on House Bill 444, Restraint of a Minor as a Further Judiciary Referral.
Objection. Resources, Chairperson.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent to waive the resource referral to SJR 32 to Finance, since they already have the related bills.
Objection. Waive. Further unfinished business, announcement of committee meetings. Finance Chairman.
Finance committee will meet tomorrow morning at 8:30, taking up committee substitute for House Bill 707, again, an act relating to lobbying. Also taking up Senate Bill 527, an act relating to motor vehicle tax exemptions. We'll also be taking up House Bill 688, an act making special appropriation to fund the Task Force on Fire Prevention. We'll also be taking up committee substitute for House Bill 576, an act relating to a grant of state land to the city of Whittier for prison parking, also this afternoon at 1:30, the Conference Committee on the Budget will meet again, taking up and closing out.
Victor Fisher.
We have a brief release,
please. Be at ease, Senator. Senator Fisher, you have the floor.
If we can revert to unfinished business.
With no objection, we are there.
Mr. President, I would like to ask unanimous consent to waive State Affairs referral in the House Bill 687, which provides for a task force for fire prevention and control, as a further referral to finance.
Objection.
And, Mr. President, with the concurrence of the Senate Finance Co-Chair, I'll announce that this bill, House Bill 687, will be heard in finance tomorrow, together with 688, which is the appropriation for that bill.
Those are committees put in by Rules Committee. Bill is placed by the Rules Committee. Thank you, Senator. You have the floor, Senator.
Legislative Council will meet Thursday tomorrow at 1:30 p.m. in the Governor's Conference Room. Wait a minute.
It's 11 a.m. joint session.
All right. We'll meet at 1:30 p.m. in the Governor's Conference Room, and it's an important meeting to make some determinations. There'll be a memorial service for George Parks on tomorrow, on Thursday, May 17th at 2 p.m. at the Masonic Temple, and the dedication of the House of Wickersham, originally scheduled for tomorrow at 2 to 3, will be rescheduled from 3 to 4, so because of the memorial for George Parks.
Rules Chairperson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. The Rules Committee will meet today at 12:30 in the Belts Room. Everyone has the agendas on their desk. It's the hope of the Rules Committee that we can move Senate bills for the remainder of this week, and so we'll try to have heavy Senate bill calendars for the body.
You have the floor, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. We will have a leadership caucus on adjournment.
You have the floor, Senator. Obedience. Back to order. You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, this afternoon at 3 in the Belts Room, we'll be having a teleconference hearing on the proposed mining regulations and continuation of the bills from we considered last time.
The items under special orders. You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I request privilege of the floor to discuss recent articles relating to drug indictments.
There has been no objection. You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I'd congratulate the efforts of those that have been involved recently in seeking evidence in these drug cases. Unfortunately, it seems, though, that there are those who would criticize dedicated government service people, belittling their efforts to create a drug-free society. Statements that they only apprehended occasional users is the same as trying to convince someone that they're only partially pregnant. The drug society participants, irregardless of their degree of participation, are all equally guilty of spreading this blight to the youth of this state, and therefore
there should not be an effort on anyone's part to minimize the seriousness of the recent drug investigations. I'd congratulate the grand jury and the state officials involved. However, Mr. President, I might note that I am incensed and furious that I've recently been the recipient of specific messages that there are those who are extremely unhappy with my part in requesting an investigation by state enforcement officers in these matters. I want to state that I am not intimidated, and I'd do it all over again regardless of the intimidations that might arise. I feel that my constituents at home would find me remiss in my elected duties if I did not do my best to help protect them from the problems created by the drug society. I think perhaps that we as legislators are doing our best to create laws that would blunt the drug problems, and hopefully we'll continue to do our best to make sure they're followed to the dotted I or the crossed T. And again, I'd say, Mr. President, I am not intimidated in this matter, that I have received messages from those that are unhappy with me for my participation in this part. I'll do it again. I'll continue to do it. I think it's for the benefit of our young people, and I want to congratulate those who have helped us create the laws that make it possible for us to do this. Thank you, sir. Senator Rain, Rules Chairperson.
Yes, privilege of the floor under special orders to announce to the body the passing of a state employee.
Please proceed.
Dr. Rabeau, who was Deputy Commissioner of Health and Social Services, was attending a state meeting in Los Angeles in the last couple of days and was found, he died in his sleep attending that meeting. And I personally have enjoyed working with Dr. Rabeau, working on the Health and Social Services budget, and I will miss him very much. And I just wanted the body to know that he will be buried in Arizona, and we'll have a memoriam for him under special orders in the next couple of days.
Thank you very much. He was a great man, fine person. We'll miss him. Senator Ray?
No other business coming for us, and I move we adjourn to 10:30.
Adjourn.